Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. It is good to see all of your faces this morning. Welcome to all of you joining us online as well. Good to be back together with you. Thankful to Pastor Ryan for coming and speaking last week. And we've been in this, you know, family series for the last couple of weeks, right? So some really important stuff. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at what the scriptures say to wives. Last week, we looked at what the scriptures say to husbands. And this morning, we look at what the Bible says to children. Now, before we begin, let me just ask you a question. How many of you are someone's child? Just go ahead and raise up your hand. Okay, perfect. So then it applies to everybody. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that regardless of age, this applies to everybody this morning. What we're talking about is not just to little kids or to teenagers or young people in general. Today, what we see will apply to everyone. And so if you've got a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open it up to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. So we're going to be here in just a moment. And I'm going to make a big statement. This may be one of the most important messages that I feel like I've ever shared. I know that's a big statement, but it's a big issue that we need to deal with this morning. So you'll see what I mean in just a moment. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, let's read it together and then we'll pray and we'll jump in. Okay, so it says, Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask that you would open our hearts and open our ears and open our eyes to see what you would say to us, to hear you, Lord. Please, we pray that you would speak and that we would hear what you would say. Help us, Lord. Change us. Encourage us. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we call this series Foundations of the Family. A few years ago, a very dear friend of mine, he had a cabin-style home on a lake. It was an incredible home. He invited my wife and I to his house for a 4th of July party, And I knew he had not been in the home long, and so when we got there, honestly, I was amazed. This beautiful log cabin style house on the lake there, large windows, massive raw wood beams, I mean, just incredible. Hadn't seen it before, and so I was commenting as he was showing us around a little bit just how amazing it was. And then he surprised me because he told me that they were in the process of moving out. They would be out soon. And I was like, wow, you know, I know you haven't been in this house very long, And so I was surprised to hear that, asked him why, and he told me. He said that it was the foundation of the home was shifting and sinking into the ground. And he pointed to areas, showed me areas where doors wouldn't close, things were skewed, showed me a couple of windows that had blown out from the pressure of the house bending and sinking into the ground. And you wouldn't have known it if you had looked at the house from the outside. But the foundation was sinking, and the house was becoming unsafe to inhabit. And so this was sort of the last thing that they were going to do before they moved out. This has always been a really vivid picture to me of what life can be like for us as people. Outside, things seem to be fine. They seem to be okay. They seem to be good, maybe even beautiful. But often, for us as people, the foundations can be sinking, and nobody really knows it, but the house is becoming unstable. Things are becoming unsafe. Well, please hear this. We are dealing with an issue this morning. It is a foundation problem, and it is in our society. It is something that is deeply, deeply broken. There are many things broken in regards to the family in our society, but this is a big one. It's broken and it's sinking, and if it doesn't turn around, it's going to collapse. So, like a house with a broken foundation, this issue is very serious. What is it? Well, the problem is simple, but it might be surprising to you to hear me say this. The issue is this. We do not honor our elders. We do not honor our elders. The aged or elderly in our society are systemically pushed to the back, to the sides, and out of sight. In many cases, left behind, left alone, neglected, dishonored, disregarded, unneeded. This is a serious issue. In an article entitled "Honor an Old Face," author Greg Morse said this. He said, "The youthful, the innovative, the beautiful, the YouTube sensations, the celebrities and professional athletes receive our admiration. While the enfeebled, the mostly spent, the hard of hearing, seeing, and walking do not. Many of our elderly are left alone, in homes alone, watching TV or playing games on phones, alone." And Morse rightly asks this question. He says, "Is it not true that the elderly mostly live in the background of our attention, cast as an extra, pecking away at an iPhone, trying to send a text? Youth are rarely taught to honor grandma and grandpa, let alone the aged in general." You know, there's an elderly woman in my neighborhood that my wife and I, all summer, we walk past her home. And she sits in such a way that her chair faces the TV, and then immediately to the left of it is a mirror that reflects back to the street so she can see as people are walking by. She waves every single time we walk by. Now, I want you to hear this. We don't walk by at the same time every day. I want you to think about that for a moment. Every single time we have ever walked past her house, she's been in that chair, waving to us. Now, I did see last summer, one day as we walked by, her entire family was with her outside, and it looked like the happiest day of this woman's life. But otherwise, I see her there in the chair. And she is on her own in her home, which is obviously a tremendous blessing to be on her own, but many others waste away in nursing homes alone. Anthropologist Jared Diamond, who has studied the treatment of the elderly across cultures, said this: "The geriatric in countries like the UK and US live lonely lives, separated from their children and lifelong friends. As their health deteriorates, the elderly in these cultures often move to retirement communities, assisted living facilities, and nursing homes." Now, in regard to those nursing homes, I found several reports that show that more than 60% of those in nursing homes receive no visit from anyone ever. You see, this is a problem, this is an issue, and it's at the heart of everything we're talking about this morning. You see, historically, this has not been the way that society has dealt with our elderly. This is a very Western mentality in the way that we deal with our elders. Morse goes on and says this. He says, "Ancient times did not have government-run nursing homes, social security programs, or retirement centers. All three converged in one place, the household. With multi-generational living now mostly a thing of the past in the West, we pick and choose to see our elderly family or not, affording them very little interest in our lives. This is our problem, and it is tragic. And it is at the core of our issue in terms of what we're talking about this morning. We as a society, and specifically here in America, have shifted. Our foundations are broken and shifting and sinking. And as a result, people's lives are being devalued. We said, this is not the way that people have dealt with the elderly throughout history and around the globe. In many cultures today, the elderly, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, the elderly in general, are honored and valued, respected, and included. They are seen as leaders of the family and sages of experience and guidance and wisdom. But we rarely see it that way in our culture. In many Asian cultures, elderly milestone birthdays are massive celebrations within the community and family. In many cultures around the world, the elderly parents and grandparents live in the same home together with their children, the old and the young living together. And the elderly are a meaningful part of the home life. Morse goes on to say this, Mediterranean and Latin cultures place similar priority on the family. In both cultures, it's commonplace for multiple generations to live under one roof, sharing a home and all the duties that come with maintaining one. In the contemporary iteration of this living arrangement, the oldest generation often is relied upon to assist with the caring for the youngest, while the breadwinners labor outside the home. As such, the aged remain thoroughly integrated well into their last days. I was just talking with our Flushing location pastor. Some of you may know him, John Carter. He grew up in Japan, and I was talking to him about this very topic. And he said that in Japan, there is no such thing as sending the elderly off to nursing homes. It's not a thing. He said that every single person he knew growing up had their parents, grandparents, etc., living with them in the home. And they were a part of the day in, day out life of the family. This is what it has been throughout history and all over the world. In the West, we have dramatically shifted. The Hebrew people of old, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, quote, now here says this, among the Hebrews and Orientals in general, old age was held in honor and respect was required for the aged. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence, or literally the face of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. It goes on, it says, a mark of the low estate of the nation was that the faces of the elders were not honored. There were times in Israel's history where the elderly were dishonored and devalued and cast aside. And this only revealed the disease in the souls of the people of the nation. And it's doing the same in our culture. Our culture, our Western mentality culture, is a culture of discarding. We throw away what we don't need. And we're doing it to people. And it's at the heart of everything we're talking about this morning. Our devaluing of our elders, it does the same thing. It reveals the sickness in our own souls, the brokenness of our society as a whole. Throughout history, old age was something greatly to be desired and seen as a blessing from God. You tell me whether or not that's the general sentiment of the people in our society today. It is not. And this is because there has been a fundamental shift away from honor to dishonor of our elders. And listen, it's getting rapidly worse. So you say, well, how did we get here? How did we so fundamentally shift? I think there are a few explanations. I think there's actually four reasons, maybe more, but I think there's four. Number one, I think the information age is a big part of it. You say, what? Yeah, it has devalued our learning from our elders. Kids are more prone to use ChatGPT to learn something today than they are to call their grandparents or talk to their parents about that thing. Moore said it this way. He says, throughout time, the elderly have served as sages of the community. They have experienced and lived, lost and learned lessons lacking among the untested thoughts and ideals of youth. But what is abuelo and abuela compared with all-wise Google? What can they tell me that a quick search can't? expertise on anything under the sun lies at my fingertips, what good is the old chief viewing life from his narrow, dated lens compared with a million sages with advanced degrees, anticipating the next trends and offering unsleeping counsel on anything I care to know? You tell me this doesn't affect us, valuing our elders. In our minds, we don't think we need what our elderly can provide, but this is not true. ChatGPT cannot give you wisdom. TikTok and Google searches cannot give you the experience that comes from knowing and loving the Lord for a lifetime. But I think there's a second reason. Second reason is our exaltation of youth, which really at the core of our exaltation of youth is our avoidance of death. Right? We don't want to think about death, so we exalt youth. We don't want to think about the brevity of life, and so we exalt youth above all things. And so everyone trying to be young and look young and whatever, they do not, so that they do not have to be reminded that everybody dies. And this avoidance of the reality of death pushes our elderly with the faces that convey the brevity of life. It pushes them to the sidelines and to the realms unseen. I think there's another problem, though, here in America. It really began with our Western focus on productivity. So what do I mean? Well, the idea is this. Can you work? If you can, then you have value. If you can't, get out of the way. We're trying to make things happen here. We are an industry. We are a productive society. We are workers. We need to make more, do more, advance. If you can't help carry the ball forward, get off the field. This is at the core of what's happening in our society. And I think there's a fourth reason, and it's this. Finally, it's a Western individualism that pervades everything. Do you realize, you may not, you've grown up here maybe your whole life, you do not realize you are steeped in individualism as a society like nothing else on the planet. There is no other culture on the planet that lives the way we do in such an individualized way. Individualism is defined this way. It is a philosophical and social concept that emphasizes the importance of the individual over the collective group or state, advocating for personal autonomy, self-reliance, and individual freedom. Now there's not anything necessarily wrong with each of those. It is wrong when we have an individual mindset to the neglect of the whole. Listen, I want you to hear this. It might sound normal to you, but the New Testament was not written in an individualistic way. It knows nothing of that. It was written as a collective, right, to the body of people, to the body of believers, to the care of the whole. It was not written with a Western mentality. Individualism is the foundation of our society, but it is not that way in other cultures. Now, at this point, you might be saying, what does any of this have to do with children towards parents? And the answer is everything. It's the very root of what is happening in our society towards children, towards their parents of any age. At whatever age you are, the Bible tells you, you must honor. Honor is the word. Look at Ephesians 6:1. Children, first of all, we'll talk to young kids in a moment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a command to young children. Verse 2, the command to all children, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Watch this, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So this, of course, is a quote from the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20. Verse 12, and then again in Deuteronomy 5:16, it's reiterated. The command is for all children everywhere, regardless of age, to honor their parents. The word honor means value. It means value. It means to treat as valuable. When you have something that is valuable, what do you do with it? You care for it. You protect it. You know where it is, right? There, you treat it as valuable. But when you have something that is not valuable, you treat it as such. You probably won't take the styrofoam cup that you used to get coffee this morning home as precious, am I right? It's going to roll around in your car maybe, stepped on, until somebody decides it's time to clean this car out, right? and then we're going to get rid of that styrofoam cup. It has no value to us, right? Listen, this is what we do when we value, we care for, we protect, we provide, right? We know, right? But when we don't, man, it's discarded. It has no value. And so the promise here to all who value their parents is blessing. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Which, as a side note, means that if we do not value our parents, it will not go well for us in life. It's very simple. You say, what will not go well? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. It just means life. It won't go well for you to dishonor, to throw away your parents. It will not go well for you. Now, listen, there is a difference between being honoring and obeying in the scriptures. In Ephesians 6:1, the Lord talks to young children. Right there in verse 1, it's talking to young children. So what you would think of as a child, right? It refers to, you know, kids living with and supported by their parents. They're not adults with their own families is kind of the defining difference. They're not their own family. They're under the authority of their parents, right? So hear this. If you are a child living at home, supported by your parents, you do not have a family of your own, you are to obey and honor your parents. This means you are to not only do what they say, but it means that you are to value them as important, as costly, as valuable. You are to treat what they say as important and valuable and costly. It means you are not to look at your parent as though you are more important than they, your thoughts are more important, what you think is better, that they are nothing, that they are worthless or stupid. Not ever. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you are to never do this. Not ever. Please hear this. If you do this, if you go against your parents like this, if you do not obey and you do not honor, please hear this. It won't go well with you. You say, what? And I'll say it again. All of it, right? It will not go well. Life, in general, life will be harder for you, and apparently, according to the promise, shorter. You say, you're just saying that because you're a dad. No, I'm saying it because I'm a pastor who's commanded to tell you the truth. You see, our society bucks against authority. Our society, your classmates, your schoolmates, the people around you, they have no value or honor for their parents, for the elderly, for those in authority, devalue, no respect, no honor whatsoever. At the core of it is value. You have to go against that. You don't go against it, it's going to be hard for you. If you are regularly fighting with your parents, not listening to them, not obeying them as a kid, it is, listen, please hear this, it is because you don't value them. Plain and simple. You don't value them, you don't value what they say, you don't value what they do, you don't have a right value because you're proud, you are prideful, you value yourself, your thoughts, your thinking more than them. And this, you are fighting against God, you're sinning against God by doing it. You might disagree, you're wrong. You might not like it. You'll make things hard. Everybody around you might be the same way. You go the same direction, you'll reap the same results. The Bible is clear. We fight against our parents. We fight against God. It's very clear. Now, you're doing it, according to the scriptures, because you're proud. And so hear what God says to you as a child living with your parents. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. It says, my son or my daughter, right? Hear the instruction of your father. Meaning the opposite of that is to not hear it, right? To reject it, to refuse to hear it. Hear the instruction. Do not forsake the law of your mother. You see, that's what's happening. We're forsaking it. We're ignoring it. We're throwing it away. For they, if you don't do this, they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. It means it will be a blessing. It will be beautiful for you. It will be helpful for you. It will be valuable. Proverbs 6, verse 20 says, my son or my daughter, right? Keep your father's command
Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. It will be a help to you, is the idea. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son or daughter heeds his father's instruction. But watch this, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Do you see the pattern here? It's this idea of you're useless to me. I don't need what you're giving to me, and so I reject it. That is like the mantra of our society and culture. But Colossians 3:20 tells children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In other words, to be fighting with and arguing and resisting your parents, acting like you know better and don't need them, and you can do whatever you want, is not pleasing to the Lord. And again, it will not go well with you if you stay on that path. One of the things that pride does, it makes us stupid. Pride makes us so stupid, so foolish. Pride makes us think that we are not in need when we are in tremendous need. Pride obscures all of it. Now listen, as a child, the only time you are allowed to disobey your parents is if they are asking you to do something that is sinful. If your parent tells you to steal something or lie or to hurt someone or whatever that might be, you have the freedom to disobey your parent because there is a higher authority, and that is the Lord Himself. But in all other things, you are to obey your parents, even if you disagree, even if you don't like it. And listen, no one's saying just shut up and do it. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to try to understand. It's okay to like try, hey, help me understand what you're trying to say and what this is. But for you just to resist, you got to understand, you're resisting God. It's okay to talk through it and try to understand, but God commands you to both obey and honor. Now, as we said, there is a difference between honoring and obeying. So children, not with their own families, are told to both honor and obey, but children of all ages, so many of us, right, that are grown, we're out on our own, we have our own families, right? Get this, we are told not to obey. We're not commanded to obey. We are told always only to honor. So hear that. A grown adult not living with their parents is not commanded to obey their parents. That's not in the scriptures. A married man or woman is not under the authority of their parents anymore. The wife is under the husband. So listen, I'm talking to you in-laws right now, okay? They're not under your authority anymore, right? The wife is under her husband's. The husband is under the Lord's authority. And that's a very serious thing. And marriage actually gets kind of difficult when parents meddle in the wrong ways and expect their adult married children to obey them, okay? That's done. They have grown. Now, that said, the one thing we do not ever grow out of is the command to honor. Now, honor means that we do not throw them away. Regardless of what they have done or not done, how good or bad they have been in our lives, we must value them. And I'm going to explain this in just a moment, but we must value them if for no other reason that they are our parents and they deserve honor simply because of that place, even if there is not much else to honor. Again, we'll talk about that in a moment. But to ignore this, it is not going to go well for you. It is disobedience to God. It will not go well. And if you're doing it with your parents, things are already harder for you than they need to be because you're in disobedience to God. So hear what God says to all of us as children of any age regarding our parents. So listen to this. Leviticus 19:3, God says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. The word revere means to honor. It means to value. It means to respect. This is God's command to you and I. Now, you might say, what if my parent is a godless person who has done wrong and done harm? I had 4 people after the first message come and ask me about this. So please hear this, okay? What if your parent is godless unsafe, evil, has done wrong, been unkind. Obviously, that is very hard, very difficult, but the command is still the same. It is still to honor them, even if they have not lived life well or done right. Now, please hear me. This does not mean we ignore everything. We let them back into our lives, around our kids. We don't have any safety. It does not mean that. There are boundaries that are in place that have to be in place based on circumstances, based on situations. Some of you, I know, you're dealing with situations where it's like you cannot allow your parent to be around your kid. I get it. We've been in the same spot before. Boundaries make sense, and they're right, and they're good, but honor has to always be there. What do you mean? I have to always be willing to care for and love my parent, my grandparents. I have to always be willing to do what God wants me to do. I can't have a hard heart that says, no, I'm not doing it. I refuse. I won't do it based on what they have done. We are still to show honor. They are at the very least to be honored for their position. As your parent or as your grandparent, the position itself demands the value. Not the entrance into your life, the value and the honor. We cannot walk away and treat them as though they are nothing and cast them aside like they are not our parent. They are to be valued because they are our parent, but also, number two, because of their age. You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, John Piper says it this way: they have borne the image of God for a long time. And so they are worthy of our honor because they've borne the image of God, just as you are worthy of honor because you have borne the image of God. You are valuable because you bear the image of God, not because you've worked more than others or accomplished more or whatever. You have an intrinsic value because of God's image. So again, we're not talking about ignoring all the issues and all the problems and acting like nothing ever happened and swinging the door open to dangerous people into our lives. We're not saying that. We are talking about honor and safe boundaries, okay? Honor, value, not just getting rid of them. Now, all of this ties back into what we talked about at the beginning. If we do not value our parents, grandparents, elderly family, and the elderly in our society, we reveal a very serious and wicked problem in our own hearts, and it is that issue of pride. Let me show you. Did you know our society, the United States, is described in Proverbs 30? Did you know that? Proverbs 30, verse 11. I hope it's not descriptive of you, but here it is. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. Isn't that the definition of self-deception? I am covered in filth, and yet I think I'm pure. Does that not describe the world around us? I need no one's authority. I need no one over me. I'm the master of my own life. My thoughts are the right thoughts. I mean, just covered in ignorance and foolishness and filth, and we think we are pure or clean, and we are not. It's very much like the church in Laodicea, which said, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, actually, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, but you don't see it. This is what pride does. It hides our true condition. It makes us delusional. We think we have no need, and yet we are literally in nothing but need. Can I please say to you, I am in continual need of correction. I'm in continual need of instruction. I'm in continual need of discipline. I am in continual need. And anytime we think we are not, pride has made us delusional. So listen, if you are a kid here today and you are in constant war with your parents and you think you're fine and that you don't need them and you don't need anything, just understand what pride is doing to you. It's making you delusional. You're cutting off the help that God has provided for you. And it's to your own harm. It will make life hard for you. It makes things difficult. Proverbs 30 goes on and says that the issue that we have as a society, to push our elderly away is this wicked pride. Look what it says. It goes on, verse 13. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, meaning they're full of pride. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, meaning they are vicious in the things they say, whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor off the earth and the needy from among them. So they use their words to cut and to hurt and to harm because of their pride, and then to push away all, to despise our elderly, push them, it literally says, off the earth, away from us. Mom, I don't need you. Dad, I don't need you. Grandma, grandpa, I don't need you. Elderly people are nothing to me. I am everything. This is what happens in the human heart. We make ourselves God in our pride. It's what Satan did. He tried to make himself God, and we have followed his pattern ever since. So the root of all of this, according to the passage there, is pride. It is arrogance. It's seeing myself as above and not needing anyone. But 1 Peter tells us what to do. If you've been in that spot now, here's what you should do. It says, likewise, you younger people. You say, well, who does that apply to? Well, you're probably younger than somebody, right? I mean, unless you hold the record in the room, you're probably like, you know, you're probably younger than somebody. So it applies to all of us, okay? Likewise, you younger people, you're like, wow, I really like him. He called me younger, you know? Submit yourselves, it says. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be, watch this, clothed with humility. That's the only way that you'll do it. The only way you'll submit yourself to your parents or to each other is humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So again, pride is the issue. You fight them, you fight God. Pride in our hearts. So Romans 13:7 tells us to render or give, therefore, to all what is due. Taxes, to whom taxes are due. I hate that one. Custom, to whom customs. Fear or reverence is the idea, to whom fear is due. Watch this. Honor, to whom honor. Can I say this to you? We owe honor. We owe honor to our elders. We owe honor to our parents and grandparents and the elderly of our society. We owe valuing them. We owe it to them. How do we show it? Well, Leviticus 19:32 is interesting. It says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence or the face of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. Look at this. Literally, this verse means, when the elderly walk into the room, you stand up and you honor them. Can you imagine if we did that? I don't know when we would sit down, right? That would be my problem, right? We'd be like, every time everybody comes in, we're like, up now? Are you older than me? I don't know, you know, right? Like, it just seems so odd to us, but the idea is we're teaching honor, right? And can you imagine if we did this? I have a rule with my kids when we get together for family gatherings. They do not get their plate of food first. They are to wait for their grandparents, any elders, to get their food first. You know what often happens? My kids are like, go ahead, Grandma, go ahead. And Grandma's always like, no, no, you guys, it's okay, go ahead, right? And it defeats the whole purpose, right? So, Mom, if you're watching, so, right. I honor you. Okay. Yeah. Right? But like, they're to wait. Why? I mean, it's silly, but it's not. What does it say? It says honor. They're to wait for us. Not because we need that, but because they need that. Am I right? So, like, this is simple, but it's honoring, and this is what we're trying to instill. It's what we're trying to teach. Let me ask you a question. Should a young person sit comfortably in a chair while an elderly person stands without one? I'm going to try not to flip this table right now. No. Get up. Get up. What is wrong with you? Don't sit comfortably while an elderly person is standing. That is unbelievable. What dishonor. What disrespect. And you can apply this across so many different things, right? The chair should be offered. They have gone through a lot more life than you have. Get up. Don't be like this culture. Disrespectful. It's wrong. Should a young person have the best place? No. Get up. That should be given to our elders. Should the elderly be pushed to the back of the room and out of the way and not interacted with and told to be quiet? No, it's dishonoring. Should doors be held open and people helped and help provided and things carried for those who are older by those who are younger? Yes, not just because you have the back for it, but because you are younger. Yes, absolutely. It's called honor. Man, it tells me a lot about a kid that offers their seat to an elder. I go, oh, something good is happening in that home. They are not only honoring their grandparent or the elder, they're honoring their parent, no doubt. They're honoring the Lord. All of this is connected. It's all connected. Tells me a lot about a kid who helps carry something, you know, for their elders, or walk them to their car, or load their groceries for them. I watched a kid do this recently, run over and help this lady who was, you know, loading her groceries. The kid just took over, started loading the groceries. I go, that's some good stuff happening in that home. Honoring. Tells me a lot when I see a kid speaking to and asking questions of an elder. And listen, honor is more than just politeness. Honor is value. And it includes care and support and protection and respect. Our elders should be cared for, supported, protected, respected. They should be given a place of honor in our minds and in our hearts. And listen, please hear this. They should feel that. They should feel it. But I wonder how many older people feel like the psalmist who prayed in Psalm 71, verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." I wonder how many older folks are scared that this is exactly what will happen to them as they get older. They'll just get pushed further and further back and out of the way and out of sight. So before we end, we have to ask this question, okay, what should it be then? What's it supposed to look like? Well, the answer is, it's supposed to look like what everybody needs. You see, everybody needs to be valued. Everybody needs to be heard. Everybody needs to be seen. Everybody needs to be loved. And everybody needs to be given an opportunity to meaningfully contribute to the people around them. Listen, just because they're older does not mean they have lost the need for these things. You're like, well, grandma never says that she needs these things. You know why she doesn't? Let me let you in on it. Ready? Grandma doesn't tell you what she needs because she doesn't want to make a problem for you and doesn't want you to push her further to the side. Your mom doesn't tell you that she needs love. She needs your kindness, your tender affection. She doesn't tell you she needs to make meaningful contributions to your life. She doesn't tell you that because she doesn't want to push you away. But she needs it. They need it. And they're not going to tell you. It's going to come out, you know, later when they're sobbing, when they're hurting because they feel like they're worthless. It's going to come out later. It's not going to come out in front of you because they don't want to get pushed to the back. As people, we do not do well when we feel like we have no value, when we feel like no one hears us, no one sees us, when we don't feel loved, when we're not given regular affection, when we do not feel as though we make a meaningful contribution to the people around us. We don't do well. None of us would do well with those things. None of us. And yet our grandparents and parents or elderly are pushed to the back, out of sight. And we say, we don't want to see you or hear you. They are left alone with regular, you know, without regular affection and attention and love given. And we don't look to them to give us anything that's meaningful. We essentially are saying to them, all of your life experiences, those mean nothing to us. We don't need to hear about them. We don't need to know about them. We don't care what you went through. That is what we're conveying. In our society, it's tragic. And ultimately, we're saying, you have no value. We are saying, go watch TV over there until you die. What a tragic message in our society. It should crush us to hear things like this. Because I would remind you, if this has been your attitude, I would remind you, you're going to be one of them one day. You're going to be the elderly one day. And you do not want people looking at you saying, go watch TV over there until you die. You want to be a meaningful part of people's lives, don't you? So flip it around and look at it now and understand your responsibility now. Now, does this mean there's never an occasion where a nursing home or a care facility is the right thing? No, of course not. Listen, but these should be extreme circumstances. These should be, you know, last resort situations, not the first place we turn when we are a little bit inconvenienced or uncomfortable, like our society is doing today. In all of this, we need to go the other direction. The fix in all of this begins with you and me changing the way we see our parents, our grandparents, the elderly around us. That is how change begins. It begins one person at a time. And so we have to decide today where we will give our honor. Listen, the YouTube morons don't need it. They don't need it. The people around you do. The algorithms, they want it. But so do the people around you. Especially if you know and love the Lord. Let me just encourage you, if you're aging and you know the Lord, the Bible tells you, it talks about the blessing that you are to the people around you, you who have known and loved the Lord for a long time. Psalm 92 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Watch this. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Man, we need you. If you've been walking in the Lord, we need you to get in the game. We need you to be a part of our lives. We invite you to do it. Please come tell us about how good God has been. Tell us about his faithfulness. Tell us about what you've learned of who he is. Please come and tell us about the Lord. And those of you that have been in the Lord for a long time, you have much to contribute. You really do. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't. And for the rest of us, you have to decide if this is true or not. Paul said, their outward man, our outward man is perishing. Amen. I agree with that. But he said, the inward man is being renewed day by day. What a beautiful thing to say. The outward's failing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So I would encourage you to go to someone who is older in the Lord and ask them, go visit a senior center, a nursing home, your grandmother, your grandfather. Go ask questions about life. They've lived a lot of it. They've been through some stuff. I was talking to someone in between gatherings here, and they were like, you know, our world today, they think they have problems.
My DoorDash delivery was late 3 times in a row.
Dear Lord, give me a break. Go talk to some people who've gone through some real stuff. Holy moly, get some perspective, you know? Some real stuff. Carried some serious weight. Man, go talk, right? If they know the Lord, let them tell you of his goodness and faithfulness and promises. The psalmist said in Psalm 71, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Siri can't tell you about the goodness of God. ChatGPT can't help you understand his faithfulness, but many of our elders can. Look around. The last thing that we need to say this morning about all of this is this. Our honor of our elders and parents, specifically grandparents, etc., that is tied to your relationship with the Lord. It's tied to it. So, if you see yourself as above them and others below you, it is pride and you are at odds with God. I'll go a step further. The person that dishonors their parent dishonors God. You fight against them, you fight against him. You have no fear of God is the issue. That's the issue in our society. No fear of God, no respect for him, and thus no respect for anybody else. May the Lord help us and change us today. Well, you might be here this morning and you've never heard the good news of what God has done for you. Can I tell it to you? Jesus Christ came to this earth to take all of your sin and mine upon himself, all of our wrongdoing upon himself, and he died on that cross as a replacement for you. It should have been me hanging there. It should have been you for our sins, but it was him. He hung there to pay for your sin. Why did he do it? So that you could be with him, so that you could be forgiven completely. This is the good news of the gospel. He died for you because he loves you. He died for you to win you to himself. He died for you so that you could turn to him and have life and be with him forever. But to be saved forever, the Bible says you must come to Jesus instead of ignoring him. And when you come to him, you must do three things. One, you got to admit you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. Coming to church ain't going to save you. You got to come to him. You got to admit that you're a sinner who needs to be saved. It's called repentance. The second thing that you must do is you must believe that what he did on that cross was for you and not just something he did. It was for you, for your sin. And then the third thing you must do is you must follow him. You cannot accept the gift of salvation and then just ignore the giver of it. You got to follow him. Jesus tells us to follow him. And so you have the opportunity to turn to him today. If you have not, you can turn to him instead of away from him. You can be saved today, right now, where you sit in your seat. You can be saved. Doesn't matter how long you, how many times you've heard this or you've never heard this. Does not matter. Right now, if you hear the Lord, you can turn to him and be saved. Now, once our gathering is concluded today, our deacons are going to be right up here in front, waiting and ready to pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason, they're here for that purpose. So come and get prayer for whatever is going on. But also, please hear this, if you have not been baptized, as Jesus commands all believers to do, please come talk to me. Talk to my wife, talk to Donnie. We will get that scheduled for you. All right, so let's pray, and we'll conclude today. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your love for us. Lord, I pray for any person here today that does not know you. I pray they would hear you now. I pray they would call out to you. I pray that they would admit their need, turn to you for salvation. If that's you, just turn towards Jesus and admit your need and ask him to save you. Begin to follow him now. Lord, we thank you for loving us, a love that took you to the cross. Help us, Lord, to honor those around us, Lord. Thank you for your word. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.